Amen. What a blessing to have the truth and to know the light of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. And I trust your heart has been stirred already, as mine has, just from sitting here and listening to the testimonies tonight and singing these songs and just hearing what God has for us. What a tremendous privilege to be in the house of the Lord and to gather together as God's people. And may our hearts be strengthened as we continue to look into His Word and see what He has for us tonight. Let's take our Bibles this evening, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. I'm sure we all know how easy it is to get caught up in our own routine of life. A lot of times out at the camp there, I see people come for the weekend, and by the end of the retreat, they're just, you know, they'll express to some of us on staff, "Boy, I'm so thankful I got away from the busyness of my routine. I needed this." And it is just amazing how buried we can get into our own little routine of life. And a lot of times we quickly forget about the major realities of life. There's several major realities of life that are emphasized in the Word of God. And a lot of times, too, I've noticed when I've flown before, your perspective of the world kind of changes, doesn't it? As you're up there in the air and you're looking down at the city of Chicago or some other city where you've driven down on the streets and you just feel like you're surrounded by big, tall buildings. And then you get up in an airplane and you see the whole city in one little glimpse, and you can see all around it. And you can see, you know, the huge Lake Michigan. And our perspective kind of changes as we get up there in the air. You know, and there's a lot of other things in life that are that way, that things, that circumstances that happen that maybe change our perspective of things in life. For example, when we went over to Kenya, I noticed a lot of things that kind of changed my perspective about life. I remember when I came back to America, as I flew in toward Chicago and landed after my first trip over there, I just remember thinking, wow, this is America. This is my home country. And I just had all kinds of feelings going on inside like I had never experienced before. And I'm sure if you've ever left the country and come back, you probably have experienced that somewhat. And as I was driving down the road, you know, on I-94 back up this way, I remember thinking, you know, looking at all these American people and American vehicles and, you know, back on American roads again and just thinking, wow, I'm an American. You know, it hit me like it never has before. And a lot of times our perspective in life really changes and by certain things that we experience. But there are certain realities of Scripture that we need to really emphasize, because Christ emphasized them in His ministry. And this one reality that I would really like us to focus on tonight is a very sobering reality. In fact, I would call it the most sobering reality. And I'm sure some of you can probably guess what it might be. But have you ever stopped and thought about what is the most sobering reality in the Bible? The most sobering reality. It was touched on a little bit tonight in the testimony time. It is a topic that most people don't like to talk about. We usually, when we're witnessing to people, we don't really like to bring up this topic because it's not very fun to talk about. And many people try to deny the reality of it, hoping that it will make it a non-reality. But that won't work. You know, as much as you think that these chandeliers don't exist in this room, that is not going to change the fact that they exist. They're there. And just because you believe it or not doesn't change the reality. And even many Christians try to avoid this topic for fear of offending other people. But that will not change the reality of this sobering fact. And the fact is, the Bible tells us that there is a real lake of fire. There is a real place of torment that exists right now and for eternity. And people are entering into it every day. Every day. I believe I've heard the statistic that every second, two people enter eternity somewhere on this world, on this planet. And that's a sobering reality to me. And why don't we just bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing on this time as we look into His Word. Father, we pray for Your blessing. We thank You so much, Lord, for giving us the Word of God, the truth, and that that truth will set us free. Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done already tonight in this service. And Lord, we look forward to what you have. Lord, may each one of us just stop and open up our heart to you as we look at your word. Lord, may we be quick to confess any sin or deal with any sin in our heart, Lord, as we are now looking into your word. Father, if we've not done that already, Lord, we just ask that you would have freedom, you would have liberty to work in our midst tonight. And Father, that this sobering reality would really grip our hearts and change our perspective of life. And Lord, we pray for your blessing now that you would guide every part of this service and that you would guide my words, Lord, that I would speak exactly what you would want. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This night, tonight I'd like us to look at three realities of hell. Three realities of hell. First of all, I'd like us to notice that it was not originally intended for people. It was not originally intended. It was not created for people. Look at Matthew chapter 25, and we see here in verse 41, Jesus Christ is speaking. In verse 41, the Bible says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand." Okay, and this is referring to a judgment that is coming. Okay, so God the judge will say all unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Notice this now, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. It was not originally intended for people. This was prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a sobering reality. Turn over to the book of Luke, and a familiar passage, Luke chapter 16, but let's just stop and think about this again, as it is such a important reality in God's word that we need to stop and think about. And it's so easy, as I mentioned, to just get going in life and forget about the reality of this place called hell that exists right now. People are there right now, screaming in torment, gnashing their teeth, and it is a terrible place. Let's think about this here. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. We'll start there. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But and Abraham goes on and talks about how, and tells him, you know, that isn't going to change the hearts of other people here. He's like, that is not going to change. We see here in this passage that there is a sobering reality. And this place called hell was not originally intended for people, but because of sin, now we as people enter into eternity in hell. And it is a very sobering thing. We notice, first of all, here in this passage that it is a place of torment. It's a place of torment. And then continue on here in verse 25. "Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." But we see here in this passage as well that this torment is never ending. It says he will be there for eternity. And I know that these are probably things that we all know. Okay, we all would stop and say, okay, you know, I want to hear something I haven't heard before. But I know in my own heart, I am so quick to get going in my busyness of life and forget this important reality. It is so critical for us to stop and think about the fact that people are burning in hell right now. And Jesus Christ even emphasized this significant reality in his ministry. Over and over, he talked about coming judgment. He talked about the place of torment. He talked about the reality of hell. And so we see, first of all, that it was not originally intended for people. Notice, secondly, that God is just in sending people there. I'm sure we've all probably talked to people, I know I have, out knocking on doors, and they ask you that famous question, well, if God's a God of love, then why would he send people to hell? Why would he send people to hell? And my friend, God is just in sending people to hell. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, a verse that was also referenced tonight during the testimony time, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is not his will for anybody to enter into hell. He did not create anybody with the intention of sending that person into eternal hellfire. That would not be a God of love, that is for sure. But the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, God is just in sending people there because of the sin of one person against a holy and righteous God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hopefully all this turning will keep you awake. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I just want us to notice a couple of verses here that talk about why God is just. How can he justify sending people that he created to hell? How is he justified in that? Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21. This first part of the verse says, "For since by man came death," by man came death. What is that talking about? This is referring back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. One sin that was committed there created an eternal consequence on the entire human race. My friend, God does not treat sin lightly. You know, we kind of categorize different groups of our sin and say, well, this sin here, you know, is not so bad. You know, look at the person down the road. Or, you know, you can always find somebody else to compare to that makes your sin look not so bad. But sin in God's sight brings eternal separation from God. By one man, the Bible says, came death. And then praise God for that last half of the verse. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Speaking of the Son of Man, who came and suffered in our place on the cross and then rose from the dead 3 days later to show his power and victory over sin and death. Praise God for that. And then look down at verse 22. The Bible says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So God saw Adam and Eve's sin as terrible. You say, well, what was their sin? You know, it must have been some terrible act of murder. I think we all know what it was. But a lot of times we look at this type of a sin as not being so serious. What did they do? They doubted God, and then they disobeyed him. They listened to the voice of the deceiver, and they took of the fruit. All that happened was they took a bite out of a piece of fruit. That was it. That's what it seems like on the surface. But it was direct disobedience to Almighty God, our Creator. God treats sin very seriously. He takes it very seriously. And obviously, because of that sin, now the entire human race has been cursed by that sin. And we are born sinners. But I praise God for that last part of verse 22, that even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There is hope for every one of us. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Romans 6:23, the wages, the payment of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of our sin, God is just in sending people there. I praise the Lord also for the promise in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just. There's that word again. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does He justify that? You might ask. How does God justify us sinning and then being able to be pardoned for that sin as a believer? He is just. When we look to Him, if we confess our sin, He is faithful. That means He will never break that promise. The promise that when we sin, if we come to Him in repentance, turning from that sin, turning to Jesus Christ and recognizing that the precious blood of Jesus Christ is able, has the power to wash away our sin. And I'm not talking about the work of salvation. I'm talking about in our sanctification as a believer. When we sin, we can turn to Christ and say, Heavenly Father, You know my sin. I am acknowledging it before You as David did in Psalm 51. He took it very seriously. And he acknowledged it before God. He turned from it and God forgave him. God washed him. And I am so thankful for that promise that we have there. But God is just in sending people to hell. He is justified in doing it because He has given us the truth. He has given us a conscience to guide us, to help us to know when we are entering into temptation. And hopefully we have not seared that conscience or come to the point where that conscience is not operating as God wants it to because of our sin. But God has given us a fair chance. And He is just in sending people to hell. And not because He doesn't love us, but because He is righteous. He is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. But I'm so thankful for that precious blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away our sin. When we look to Jesus Christ in faith for salvation, and we look to Him, we trust Him for when we sin in our Christian walk as a believer, we turn to Him and we turn from that sin and we don't keep going back to it. Okay, that is not true repentance. God will enable us to have true repentance from our sin. As we walk with Him, as we seek His righteous blood to cover our transgressions. So we see, first of all, that sin, the first reality of hell is that it was not originally intended for people. And that God is just, secondly, in sending people there. Okay, and we see that it is eternal death. Matthew 25:46 calls it everlasting punishment. Last of all, I would like us to notice that God's people must constantly and lovingly warn others. Turn to the book of Jude. And we see a couple of verses here that refer to what we ought to be doing as Christians. The book of Jude, verse 22. Okay, look at verse 21. But ye, beloved, speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We as brothers and sisters in Christ have the responsibility of helping other brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with the Lord. You know, if you see a brother that is, or a sister that is not, that is clearly disobeying Scripture in some way, it's our responsibility and our privilege to lovingly go to that person and say, this is what the Bible says, and I'm so concerned for you. And it's not because of our self-righteousness, but because of the righteousness of God that we are trusting in, we can go to another person, another brother and sister in Christ, and help them and point something out maybe that according to the Scripture is not right. But then we can also go to the lost people that have not received Christ as Savior. Maybe they've never heard of Jesus Christ. We can go to them with this wonderful, glorious truth and warn them about eternity in hell and about the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Hell is mentioned throughout the entire Bible. Jesus spoke frequently of hell and of coming judgment throughout his ministry here on earth. And he even uses the word hell specifically about 31 times in the New Testament and refers to it in other terms, numerous other times. But you know what? One thing that I noticed as I was looking through a lot of verses about Jesus Christ and his ministry here on earth, one thing that jumped out at me was the word compassion. Jesus Christ had compassion. He was moved with compassion. So many times he had a multitude of people in front of him. And I'm sure many of them probably had trusted Christ as Savior, but I'm sure many of them had not. Many of them were just coming to kind of see who this person was, and maybe they had heard about some miracles he had done, and they had come to see him. But he was moved with compassion on the multitude. And why? Because he could see their hearts. He knew that these people were not seeking after the truth. Many of them were like sheep, just wandering and going, kind of blowing along with the wind wherever it was blowing. Christ was moved with compassion. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, may we tonight have compassion on the lost. I found out just a few weeks ago about this, an atheist. And I guess he has some TV show and does a lot of illusions. Some of you may know who I'm referring to. I believe he goes by the name of Penn, at least on stage, I guess his name, he goes by the name of Penn. Well, this man, a big, tall guy, very vocal, that he's very good at doing these illusions, I guess, but he also is an atheist. And this man will speak openly, even on his shows, openly speak against God, openly slander the Word of God, as I've been told. And this man is an atheist. He hates God. He hates the Bible. He talks about different things in the Bible and just tries to tear it to pieces and deny that there's even a God. Well, one day after one of his shows, I guess this happened within the last couple of years, I believe, a Christian man, I don't know why he was at his show, but for some reason he was at the show, and he came up to this man the next day. He was able to somehow get in touch with him and met up with this man who blasphemes God, blasphemes the Bible, and with a heart of compassion and love for this man, in spite of his blasphemy against God, started talking to this man. And he told him that he wanted to give him a New Testament, this little New Testament. One of the Gideon New Testaments had the New Testament and Psalms in it. And he told this man why he wanted him to have this Bible. He told him that this New Testament, if he would read it, could explain to him how he could have eternal life. And this man explained to this atheist that he believes that there is a real hell and that everybody on the face of this earth is going to go there unless they trust the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away their sin. And this man confronted this atheist who had just blasphemed and openly refuted Christianity, denied God, very vocal about it. But as this man, this hard atheist man, listened to this man, this Christian, who was confronting him about his sin, telling him about this place of judgment called hell, and telling him how he could have eternal life, he listened. He didn't try to blaspheme. He didn't try to slander this man. He could tell that this man was confronting him with a heart of genuine love for his soul. And he gave him that Bible. And the atheist thanked him. And then he went, I don't know if he did it at home or where he did it, but he did some kind of an interview and posted it on YouTube. And it has more recently been taken off of YouTube because so many people were watching it and leaving all kinds of comments about it. And Christians were, you know, encouraging this man to, and leaving comments, you know, encouraging him to trust Christ as his Savior. And he finally just took it off of there. But anyways, he posted a video on there, and he was sitting there in his chair, you know, talking about, telling about how this man came to him, and just seemed so genuine, seemed so, you know, to have such a heart of compassion for him. And he had heard of Christians, you know, many times, had met many of them. But he said that this man, there was just something unique about him, something that just captivated him as he listened to this man tell him, warn him about hell and judgment, and tell him how he could receive Christ as his Savior. And this man, you know, this big atheist, you know, just was telling this and explaining how much it meant to him and how, you know, he really was deeply affected by this. And he made a statement that really stood out to me. It just, you know, grabbed a hold of me. And he was talking about how this man was warning him about hell. And this is what he said about this man, about other Christians who have talked to him but have never told him about hell. And he knew about hell, but he said, "You have to really have a lot of hate to believe people are going to hell and not tell them." You have to have a lot of hate to believe in hell. And I'm sure every one of us in this room tonight would raise our hand and say, yes, I believe there's a real hell. I hope you're not heading there. I hope you know for sure that you're heading to heaven. As Brother Perleberg mentioned, we can know for sure. But do you really have that love and compassion for people? Is it in your mind as you go to, you know, as you go past people in the store? Ever since I've heard this, it has just, whenever I'm standing, you know, around where there's people walking by, it just grips my heart over and over that these people, maybe nobody has ever told them. And, you know, to think that people could go through their entire life and never anybody, a Christian, you know, there's a lot of professing Christians here in America and here in this church. But I know in my own life, I'm guilty of many times letting people go past me without warning them about this terrible place of torment and hell. And so it really jumped out to me how this man made that comment. And as far as I know, he has not received Christ, but that stood out to him. He said, if a Christian can believe that there really is a place called hell, you have to have a lot of hate to not tell people about that place. And I know a lot of times we may not say, well, I'm full of hate and so I'm not going to tell them. That's not how we think, I know. But many times we allow the cares of this life, our busy routine of life. We think, oh, you know, I've got to get to the store and then I've got to get home because supper's at a certain time and I can't tell that. I don't have time to talk to that person right now or even give them a tract. But you know what? Hell is raging. There are people there tonight, right now, screaming in torment. As this man in Luke chapter 16 said that he lifted up his voice in torment. And all he wanted was a drip of water just to get some kind of relief from the torment. Are we telling people about this place called hell? As we close, I'd like you just to imagine with me for a moment. Use your imagination here that and maybe some of you have been out to the Rocky Mountains before. I went there a few years ago on a choir tour, and we got to go into Estes Park, and there were just some beautiful, incredible, like calendar pictures that you'd be hiking down these trails in the mountains, and all of a sudden you'd come into a huge opening, just so enormous, with a big lake at the bottom of it, and mountaintops all around, and snow on these mountaintops, and it was just beautiful. Imagine that you're walking through a place like that and you're coming to the end of your hike through the mountains and you come back to the park area where your vehicle is and there's picnic tables and you're with your family and you spread out a blanket on the ground and you're sitting down there enjoying a wonderful picnic. But as you were coming to the end of your hike, a huge avalanche came roaring down the mountain and wiped out the trail where you were just hiking. Okay? And you look back and you see that and you think, wow, you know, I am thankful I wasn't just hiking right there. You know, you look and there's this another huge cavern that has developed because of that avalanche. And then, you know, and these trails are well marked. And so you're sitting there at your picnic, you know, enjoying the lunch there and beautiful sunshiny day. And let's say for the sake of illustration, you see a blind man and he's walking down. He's coming into the park. He's got his walking stick out there and he's just walking through the park, you know, enjoying the beautiful sunshine, imagining what the mountains look like all around him. And the sun is beaming onto his face and he's just, you know, listening to the birds chirping and enjoying his hike. And you see this man starting to head right down the path toward that drop off. And here you are in your picnic with your family, enjoying the nice little location you found and enjoying the food. But yet here's this man walking blind. He can't see. And he thinks he's just going to, you know, enjoy his time walking down that trail. But he's heading right toward that drop-off, heading right toward sure danger could paralyze him or kill him. And you just sit there enjoying your picnic with your family, and you just enjoy the sunshine and the birds chirping, and you just look away. You know, you don't want to see what's about to happen. But my friend, many of us as Christians are just like that family sitting there at the picnic. And there are people that have been blinded by Satan, blinded by sin, that are walking right down that path, heading toward sure destruction. And we know it, but we don't do anything about it. And we just sit there enjoying our little picnic. My friend, I hope that is not true of any of us. And maybe tonight you've realized, you come to a point in your life where you realize, you know what, I have lost my sensitivity in this area. I have lost the reality of hell. I'm not living with that reality. When I go to work or when I go to the store, and I don't care what age you are, whether you're a child or an adult, a senior citizen, God has you here on this earth to use you to point other people to Jesus Christ, to rescue other people from this terrible place that everybody on the face of this earth is going to go unless somebody warns them about hell and the judgment that is coming because of our sin and tells them about the wonderful love of Jesus Christ and gives them the message of salvation. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you so much for your truth. We thank you, Father, that your word tells us about this place called hell and that we can know that we aren't going to go there. But Lord, help us as we as Christians it's so easy for us, Lord, to just become comfortable in life, to just get into the routine of our life and give all kinds of excuses for why we are not reaching out to people. Lord, I think of all the technology that we have today and the ability that even just from our own home, we can send out emails and text messages and phone calls. And yet many times we don't even do that, let alone going out knocking on doors. Lord, help us. Open our eyes. Father, if there's anybody in this room here tonight who has not been awakened to the realities of hell, and the fact that people are dying and going there every day. Lord, I just pray tonight that you would correct our thinking, that you would help us to humble ourselves before you, to be honest before you, to stop making excuses. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, those of us here tonight, would you in a moment here just admit by raising your hand before God to give you an opportunity to just acknowledge before the Lord, you know what? I have not been living in this reality. I've not been living in this reality. And God has convicted me. And I need God to change this area of my life, to cause me to be alerted and alarmed by this reality of the burning lake of fire, that people are going there every day. People that we have talked to, people we have met, family members that we know. They're going to hell. Who is going to tell them? Is there anyone here tonight that would just admit by raising your hand up quietly, no one looking around, and this isn't even for me to see, but just for you to admit before God, God has convicted me of some areas of my life that I need to change. He has convicted me about not going to hell. I hope that nobody is being distracted by anything else, but that you'd think about this reality. If that's you, would you just slip your hand in the air and admit to the Lord that, you know what, I haven't been living as God wants me to live in this reality. I've not been telling people. Would you just raise it quietly before the Lord? Hands all over the room. And, you can put those hands down. And God sees our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ who came and died on the cross and rose from the dead to provide salvation from this terrible place of torment that we all deserve because of our sin, because of our wickedness. Lord, I pray that you would work in every one of our hearts tonight. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you will do and for your mercy. Lord, for your willingness to forgive us of sin that is keeping us from living in this sobering reality and from being burdened about telling other people about this place called hell. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Would you please work in our hearts tonight in a powerful way, Lord, as we just yield ourselves to you and to the work, the wonderful privilege, this glorious, great commission that you have given us of telling other people how they can be rescued from hell. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.